Welcome on in. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That gets you aboard on a Tuesday, a day after the Eagles visit the White House, an off day for the Phillies. We got a lot to talk about here today, including a Philadelphia Eagle that is one for now, but not might not be for much longer. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philadelphia. Hey, listen, you got to be a special kind of individual if you join the Power Slap League. Have you seen that?
No.
Listen, I went down a rabbit hole yesterday when I got home.
Uh-oh. Algorithm
and,
time?
Yeah. And man, listen, I was looking at the Power Slap League, Joe.
I've seen this.
Bruh.
It's insane.
Like, basically, it's like you slap somebody. Like, you sit there right there. You put chalk on your hands, and they slap you. And it's like you go slap for slap. And, Joe, I saw some guys and gals get slapped so hard that they were put to sleep right there. And I've seen some people get slapped so hard that it slapped. I had to watch it. I don't know. Because, you know, you never know what's real or not. Slapped one girl's tattoo off her face.
Ouch.
Slapped her tattoo off her face and then slapped one dude's eye closed. It's bananas.
This is an algorithm thing?
Yes.
Yeah.
But here's the kicker.
Mm.
It's a real league. It's like a real league in Vegas.
Well,
where
your ex-teammate that used to get slapped in the face for the game.
I don't know if this is a different level of slap. Like, seriously, I'm gonna show you some of the videos.
All right, I'll watch this.
It's different. It's different levels of slapping.
So how do you win?
You stay upright, because sometimes you lose and you get slapped to sleep. Like, for real.
That's a tough day right there to get slapped to sleep.
Power slapping is no, and I'm like, wow, this is a real thing. Mm. I saw one dude get slapped so hard his face was bleeding.
Ow.
Yeah. They getting it in.
Yeah, that's a disrespectful slap across the face. All right, more of a figurative slap across the face is what the Eagles are doing to Dallas Goedert right now. Well, you know, you set me up for it, but I mean it. So Dallas Goedert's still a Philadelphia Eagle. Howie spoke about him after the draft the other day, and we'll get to what Howie said. But, Hugh, this morning I saw some news. You see this? George Kittle got paid this morning?
Got paid!
George Kittle and the 49ers.
Hey, man, how much is it?
4 years, $76.4 million.
That's 40, a nice payday.
Yeah, 40 of that guaranteed. By the way, George Kittle, who is 2 years older than Dallas Goedert, just got 4 years, $76 million. Hmm. As the Eagles are haggling with a tight end who's been here for years, been to two Super Bowls, helped them win a Super Bowl, been one of the best postseason performers ever at the tight end position. Hugh, the more I think about what's going on here, the more I think about how the Eagles have treated the Goedert situation since the season ended, the fact that Goedert got paid today, it really hit me this morning. They're undervaluing Dallas Goedert, what he's brought to this team, what he means to this team. We're nickel and diming one of the better players we've had here in this city for a long time. Hugh, I think they're totally undervaluing him. I think about what he accomplished just this last year. And I know he was banged up, and Douglas is going to tell us that in a minute. I know
That's a preemptive strike,
yes,
right there. That's not right.
Here's what I know. He saved their season with the touchdown in New Orleans, okay? He is not just a pass catcher. He also blocks really well. We talk about him as if he's old and over the hill. He's 30. You ready for the ages of other tight ends that are still productive in the NFL? Travis Kelce's 36. George Kittle, by the way, just got paid this morning, is 32. Zach Ertz is still playing well. What do you have?
Damn,
like,
Travis 36?
No, Travis is 36. Yeah, Ertz.
Damn.
Ertz, who we let go 5 years ago to have Goedert play. Ertz is still catching 10 passes in the title game. He's 35. Mark Andrews is 30. I mean, there's plenty of tight ends in the league right now that are this age or older. He's one of only five tight ends in NFL history with multiple postseasons of 16 or more catches.
And he went to the White House yesterday.
And he was participating with his teammates. Good for the Eagles. Obviously, a fun day for them yesterday. All right? Hugh, his cap number for next year is $11
million. It's a lot of money.
Well, all right, I'm going to hit you with a number.
No,
I'm going to hit you with a number, and then you could tell me your opinion on this, all right? You know how the Eagles roll over cap space, right? They have dead cap money. They have people on the roster that they have to allocate money for that aren't here. You say $11 million is a lot of money for Goedert on the cap next year. Do you know who accounts for $16 million of the Eagles' cap this coming season?
Saquon?
Jason Kelce.
Oh.
Who's not here.
Okay.
The Eagles are allocating $16 million on their cap next season to Jason Kelce, who's obviously retired and not here because that money sits on the cap. But they can't give $11 million in cap room to Dallas Goedert. I think we're undervaluing this guy. I think the Eagles are. Let me make that clear. Maybe not you. Maybe not me. I think the Eagles are. 215-592-9494. Hugh, where do you come down? I mean, you've lived the life of a player that's, you know, this stage of their career. You know how this works. I feel like they're undervaluing him because it really feels like they're publicly trying to get him to take a pay cut.
Well, it's probably that. But you look at Dallas in his career, man, and I'm looking at these numbers. Missed 7 games, what, last year?
Mm-hmm.
He missed 3 in 2023 and 5 in 2022. The biggest thing is for him is his availability. And that kind of – when you have a tight end of his caliber, as good as he is, and I always say this, your biggest asset is your availability. And when you're not available for your offense, a lot has to change in order to get some of the production that they're missing with you. Now, granted, I know that when he's out there, he's a phenomenal player.
Yep.
But it's a dependability thing. I could have – to put it like this. I could have a 10-second 5.0, a car that's a track car.
Mm-hmm.
Can have a 10-second car, right? 9-second car, whatever. But it does me no good if every time I race it, it's always breaking down. It's not durable. I can't drive it all the time. See, so I think that's where the Eagles are looking at this. Dallas Goedert is still a serviceable tight end. And when you look at the resources that we've allocated to that position, which is none – because we didn't get anybody.
Zero.
I understand where you're coming from. Now, this is what makes it unique and precarious to me, is that what are you going to do? Like, you don't want to pay him. You don't want to extend him. Like, what do you do? Like, to me, the easiest fix for this is to extend him and bring that cap number down.
Sure.
Extend him to a couple years. That's my opinion, but I'm not a capologist. I don't know what Howie's thinking. And normally when you do things like that, Joe, it's normally you do that to bring his cap number down and it puts money in his pocket.
So I think that's the logical thing. Of course, though, that ties them to him into
for a couple
his
more
30s.
Years.
Yeah, and maybe because of the injury history, they don't want to. I think your point is logical. I get why they might not want to do that. I just want to bring him back for this year. Like this nickel and diming him over his salary for this year. It's not like they have zero cap space this year. That's what's driving me crazy about this. Like, if we were over the cap, right, we got to make cuts. I get it. He's expensive. He's older. I get all that. You make a good point about his injury stuff. Though I will say, Hugh, his injuries have been, I don't know if this is even the right way to say it, they've been kind of well-timed. He's never missed a playoff game, right?
Mm-hmm.
He always gets hurt in, like, November, right? Then we wonder if he's going to be back by the end, and he seems to always get back. He's never missed a playoff game. He played in 2-18, 1-19, 1-21, 3-22, 1-23, and all 4 this year, and made huge plays those playoff games. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? It sure feels like. Let's listen to Howie Roseman. This weekend after the draft, so the Eagles don't draft a tight end. They didn't get Hugh Mason Taylor. They avoided that situation. But, I know, they didn't get a Mason Taylor. We didn't get any tight end here. Let's listen to Howie Roseman talking about Goedert and kind of the way he framed him still being on the team.
You know, Dallas is part of the team, you know, as we speak. Obviously, as we go forward, we're going to continue to address things on this team. And right now, nothing further. Dallas is a heck of a player, heck of a person. You know, certainly don't want to do anything publicly where we're discussing anyone's business, but have so much respect for him. You know, been to 2 Super Bowls together, and you know, obviously would love him on this team. You know, you always love having Dallas on this team, but we're not there right now on any of that. But love Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, you know what, Hugh? When he said, as we speak,
mm-hmm.
that as we
turn
speak.
Your mic off.
I know. I'm having trouble. I'm having headphone issues in here. As we speak is not a good sign. It doesn't. When you hear as we speak, what do you think? He's on the team as we speak.
It doesn't sound like they're having meaningful, productive conversations.
It does not.
But I'll say this, and I know you might not think this is a big thing. He was at the White House. And I think that there probably was. I think.
You think that means there's something there for his future? Because Mekhi Becton was there. He's a Charger.
Well, yeah, he is, but he's gone.
Yeah.
I think Howie just strikes me, and I don't know this for sure because this side of Howie is not the Howie that I knew when I was here. But Howie strikes me as a guy that's more personable than, say, a Joe Banner was. And I'm pretty sure that they have that type of relationship where he was like, damn, okay, Howie, what you doing? What's going on?
Getting too comfortable in here? It's only 10-11.
No, but I'm saying, like, if I'm Dallas And I feel like they have the kind of relationship with Howie that I think it is. It's not, you can ask Howie that, yo, what's going on, man? I mean, what we doing? Like, seriously, what's going on? And I think that Howie has that kind of cachet. Howie's around those guys a lot. I see Howie more so with those guys than I ever saw Joe Banner when he was doing Howie's job. So I feel like it's not out of bounds to have that kind of conversation with Howie, because I think Howie will have that conversation.
Yeah, and maybe they have. And I don't think it's going to be an ugly breakup if they move on. But the reality is this. It just feels like they are trying to squeeze him to take their number.
Well, it does. And there's a lot that we don't know about the situation. Maybe the numbers, maybe they are trying to get him to resign.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the number that they want him to resign for is not, or the years, is not what Dallas wants.
Maybe. But when they talk about him, they're putting, like, for now, as of now, right
well,
now.
Well, because they're probably trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And they're also, you got to think, too, Joe, they're probably trying to figure out their plan B or C, for that matter, if it doesn't work out.
Well, we just had the draft. They didn't draft anybody.
Yeah, they didn't draft nobody.
That plan. Now, I feel differently about this if they had drafted a tight end in the second round. Then it would have felt like, okay, they're probably valuing him fairly because they have his replacement already.
Might be negotiating in good faith, too. Might be a little bit of that.
I feel like they're doing it too publicly. I don't know.
They're kind of not. Well, it's public to us because we don't know the intricacies of the details.
Right, but every time Howie speaks about him, it's almost like a hedge. Like, yeah, he's here right now. We like him.
I mean, because at this point, you don't know how it's going to go.
But he's on the roster.
Yeah, he is now. But, again, might be some conversation or negotiations that the numbers – that you, where you want to be and where he wants to be, they're not adding
up. I agree with you, and that's why I think they're undervaluing. I feel like this is an Eagles problem more than a Goddard problem. 215-592-9494. Let's hear one more from Howie Roseman here the other day post-draft about Dallas Goedert.
Do you see a path where Dallas can come back at this point? And is that the one place maybe you're still a little bit uncomfortable?
Dallas is a heck of a player, heck of a person. Certainly don't want to do anything publicly where we're discussing anyone's business, but have so much respect for him. Been to two Super Bowls together, and obviously would love him on this team. You know, you always love having Dallas on this team, but we're not there right now on any of that. But love Dallas Goedert.
When he says we'd love to have him on the team, my response is he's on the team. Yeah. Why is Howie talking about him as if he's a free agent?
Because they're trying to figure this thing out.
No, because
they're
undervaluing him and trying to get him to take a big
what is it, 16 million? 12 million?
14 on the salary,
sounds
11
so
on the cap.
16.
No, they're paying Jason Kelce 16 to do television.
Don't let facts get in the way.
Yeah, they're paying Jason Kelce $16 million on the cap for Kelce to be on WIP.
He's off the books, right? He's off the books this year.
No, he's on their books for this year.
No, I said after this year he'll be off the
I got to check. What? I'm not worried about next year. I'm not worried about this year.
I mean, it happens all the time, and that's probably why they don't want to cut Dallas. The way they don't want to do anything abrupt.
Yeah.
But $12 million, Joe, $14 million. It's a lot for a tight end that missed seven games
and
last year.
And here it is. Company man Douglas has arrived.
I'm just being honest. I have been on this, your biggest asset is your availability train the whole time I've been here. It's the truth. If you're not healthy and you can't play, you put your team in a bind. What would he talk about last year when Slay was here? How he went out, like every game, he went out to the sideline and came back like he was Hulk Hogan, like
sure,
he was the conquering hero.
They kept him.
But they tried to get rid of him, and they brought him back for a cheaper number.
They kept him.
But they brought him back for a cheaper number.
I hear you. All right, Kyle, what do you think on the Goddard thing? As he's still here, but every time Howie talks, it feels like that door is being pushed out.
Yeah, it's annoying me because it feels like they're kind of doing him dirty. Mm-hmm. I like Dallas Goedert, and I think the Eagles have kind of gone too far in two directions this offseason, and one of them is with the pinch and penny stuff. Like, haven't we saved enough damn money this offseason for next year? And whatever moves that we can make next offseason, feels like we're going to have enough room to be able to bring back Jalen Carter, because that's really the big one next year. I don't see Dallas Goedert being the reason or being what's getting in the way of bringing back Jalen Carter. Like, weren't you just saying that it's about cash savings and not necessarily cap savings? So, like, I don't understand it from that perspective. But the other thing is, I think the Eagles have done enough to like reset this team for what the Eagles will look like 3-4 years down the line. Like, can they do something that's going to help them win next season? Letting Dallas Goedert go hurts them next year. Like, I've been very clear with how I think the Eagles need to win next season, and that's by doubling down on this offense, and in particular the passing offense. So, yeah. Like, they don't have enough behind him. I don't think Calcaterra is a good enough Dallas Goedert replacement. Whoever was it Granson and Harrison Bryant? Like,
yeah,
I don't trust these guys to be adequate tight end replacements for Dallas Goedert. Like, Goedert does add another layer to the offense that I think we're going to need. Like, so I don't think we're going to be able to rely as heavily on the run game next year. And even if you do, Dallas Goedert helps you in a big way with that. And I don't think they're going to be able to rely as heavily. You know, they'll still be able to rely on it, but as heavily on the defense next year. This team's going to need to air it out if they want to be competitive and win the Super Bowl again. And, like, I don't see any – I just think the upside to bringing Dallas Goedert back totally outweighs whatever it would be to let him go at this point.
I agree. Well, also with that, we know they're going to run it a lot anyway. That's what they do when you have Saquon, you have Jalen Hurts. Dallas Goedert's a really good blocker. I mean, even if you think Calcaterra could play a little bit, he can't block like Dallas Goedert. So you have that aspect. And every other position that they've lost people this offseason, Hugh, and some of it we knew was coming, right? They seem to have something in the pipeline ready to go, right? Ojomo is behind Milton Williams, and now they drafted the Ty Robinson kid. They signed Azeez Ojulari. They have Jalix Hunt developing right behind Josh Sweat. Every one of them, I could kind of like nod my head and say, okay, they have Kelee Ringo behind Darius Slay, and they signed Adoree Jackson. What's behind?
Nothing.
Nothing. Even
Calcaterra.
Stop. Even the CJGJ thing, right?
Calcaterra. Grant Calcaterra.
They drafted a safety in the second round. What? They have Sidney Brown. There's no tight end here.
I just made everybody mad by saying that.
This is why we call you a company man.
No,
this is why.
No, I'm just saying. He was pretty productive. Listen.
Oh, jeez.
Listen to what I'm saying before you start calling me names.
I didn't say you.
I mean, at least can I get it out before you start calling me names?
Joe's about to start calling you tons of names.
I mean, it wouldn't be the first time. It would just be the first time today.
Calcaterra was productive.
Yeah, sure. Now, he wasn't what Dallas Goedert was. And I'm not saying that they would be comfortable going in it to this season with him. But when you talk about a financial perspective, with the games that Dallas has missed in the last 3 years, that's like what? Quick math. That's like 14 games.
Uh-oh.
Cal, 5, 6, 7, 8.
You're going to start drowning if you get into math.
15 games. I did the math real quick. He missed 15 games.
Yeah.
That's a damn near a season.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying a guy who damn near missed the season.
It's unbelievable.
No, I'm just saying, like, I'm trying.
That's spin doctor.
I am not spin.
Hold on. Before we signed Saquon, how many games did he miss the 3 seasons before? Ooh.
Well, but
a
he
lot.
Was. But he wasn't. He's been healthy. He was healthier this year than he's ever been
well,
in any
maybe,
of his
maybe Goddard will be super healthy this year. Maybe.
Well, that doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
You know what? You're focusing on the wrong numbers. You know what numbers in my head? 61-yard touchdown versus the Saints.
Calcaterra is fine, but you know what this reminds me of was when we were talking about losing players. He was like, A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon.
No.
These scrap these guys.
My job here is to take you behind the curtain. I'm taking you behind the curtain.
Yeah, this curtain's silly.
I know. And it makes everybody mad, but I am the drunk uncle at the barbecue.
Because you, like the Eagles, are undervaluing Dallas Goedert.
Because
I am
looking at it realistically, Joe.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
when you talk about paying somebody $14 million who's missed the whole season damn near, it's a lot of money.
Pinching pennies.
Well, you know, I'm a pinch.
I know. That's why you align with
that's
this.
That's a whole lot of money to pay a guy who availability is always up in the air.
Well, it is. All right, let's go to the phone line. 215-592-9494. Chris in Middletown up talking Goddard as it feels like the Eagles are undervaluing him. What's up, Chris?
Happy Bring Back Goddard Day, man.
That's what day it is today, at least for some of us around here.
All right, I got to get right to this. Mm-hmm. Hugh Douglas, with all due respect, I do not need to hear your company man nonsense. I'm about to cook you up like you did that at Bacon on the Air, all right? Listen, it's not like this guy's going to Jacksonville us. It's not a gap year, okay?
Feel attacked.
You should.
You should feel attacked. I mean, dude, this guy, you're saying, oh, he missed 5 games. What did he do in the playoffs? We don't win that game, potentially, in Green Bay without him. We don't win 2 or 3 of those playoff games without the guy. The guy carried us. He was our only receiver that was doing anything. That Green Bay game, I was there. I watched it. We were on pins and needles because it was close, and we couldn't close it out until who? Dallas Goedert caught the ball, and little boy Carrington Valentine all the way 24 yards into the end zone. That's the difference this guy does. How many games do you remember seeing on tape where, like, he lays out with a one-arm catch? Or
oh, no, he was on angry runs. He had the angry run, yeah.
This dude is a beast. This dude is a beast. We got to bring him back. You have to bring him in. Now, I was on board with you of not bringing him back as long as, you know, we brought a little bit of, you know, Honey Jasmine into town. But we didn't get it, okay? That went to New York. So now, you got to bring him back. This guy is Philadelphia to the core. He's grit. He's what we love. He's our type of play. There's only one thing left to do. G-O-E-T-E-R-T. Holly, sign him. The voice is fading.
It's all right, Chris. We appreciate it.
Go check on his boys after that.
Yeah. Check on everything. I was wondering. I was like, he couldn't spell Dallas. That just wouldn't feel right. So he went with the Goddard, and that G was a little high pitched. But
oh, yeah, but that G sounded like it hurt.
It did. Chris might have to lay down the rest of the day. All right, 215-592-9494. For the Eagles, clearly are playing hardball here with Dallas Goedert. Do you think they are undervaluing him? I do. I think he's an important player to bring back. If the goal is to win the Super Bowl again next year, I want to bring him back. I think the Eagles are undervaluing him. Obviously, Frugal Douglas here is pinching pennies today. Your call's coming up. And Elliot Shore Parks this morning on the morning show and his interpretation of Howie's comments regarding Goddard and a breakdown of the money situation. 215-592-9494. Are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert? Sure feels like it. We'll talk about it right here on the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Hey, this is a great song. Money for nothing. It kicks for free.
You coming around now? You ready to pay Dallas Goedert? Or are you still being frugal?
Like, I don't have a problem paying him. But you're saying, am I overvaluing him? I don't think so.
You're undervaluing.
Well, I think
maybe I'm overvaluing. Who knows?
Well, yeah, whatever. However we said it was, that's how it is. But I think the problem is you have to make it more comfortable for you going into this season. Now, how do you do that? Offer the suggestion. Extending. Doesn't sound like they want to do that for whatever reason.
It really does feel like a standoff because from his perspective, why am I taking less money, right? Like, I'm here, I'm under contract. You don't have anything else to position. You didn't draft anybody. I mean, he's got some leverage there. But from their perspective, Hugh, he has no more guaranteed money. I mean, he has zero guaranteed dollars left on his contract. I mean, players don't like to play for zero guaranteed money.
No, you want some bread. You want some guarantee. You want some newfound money.
Well, speaking of that, George Kittle, who's 2 years older than Dallas Goedert, and I acknowledge Kittle's a better player, right? Kittle's
much better.
Yeah, he's more productive. He's better. But they're not. The gap between Kittle and Goedert isn't like the second
it's
best.
Not tight end. It's not like the Grand Canyon.
No, and like right, whatever. Is Kittle still a top five tight end? Probably. Is Goedert a top 12 tight end?
15, top 15.
Yeah, I think he is still.
Yeah.
And he's not.
I give him that.
You know, Goddard never became the top five guy consistently. We hoped he would, but he's a good player.
And really good player.
If the goal is to win a Super Bowl next year, I want to keep him. 215-592-9494. The Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert. It sure feels like it to me. All right, let's hear Elliot Shore Parks this morning on the morning show explaining the Goddard situation. And really, first, let's hear him talking about Howie's message. What Elliot took away from listening to Howie over the weekend on the Goddard situation.
I've covered Howie the entire, like literally since I started covering the team, Howie's pretty much been the GM. And I have never heard an answer like that from Howie. I feel like every time Howie's asked about a player that we all think is going to go, it's always, you know, he's a big part of the team. We value having him. That answer to me felt like public negotiating with Goddard to say like, yeah, we're probably going to move on from you. So I kind of think things might have shifted a little bit in what's going on. I think both sides entered the offseason under the assumption, because of what the Eagles wanted, that they were going to be splitting. Now that we've made it this far into the offseason, and clearly there's not the interest in Goddard around the league that either the Eagles or Goddard anticipated. If there was, financially, he would have been moved. I don't think this is about draft compensation. I think this is about a team willing to pay Goddard probably what he's looking for, or frankly, maybe even what he's making now. Like, I don't know if Goddard's able to find the money he's making right now with the Eagles. So, you know, I think at this point, just based off that, you do wonder if they would bring Goddard back on a very reduced salary, or if they've decided like they're just going to move on. But that answer to me almost felt like a message to the Goddard camp, like, hey, we will still cut you or trade you if we have to.
I agree with Elliot on that. That's what I got out of listening to Howie over the weekend, that unless Goddard really reduces his salary, I don't think he's going to be here, Hugh. That the more it goes on, the longer it goes on, unless Goddard bends, I don't think he's going to be an Eagle.
Yeah. I mean, it does feel like that, but you got to do something, because here's the reality of it. Even though Goddard, it feels like he has all the cards, the Eagles could still make a move. They could probably wait till another tight end gets cut or something like that and still get some decent production out of that. Now, listen, I'm not trying to take anything away from what Dallas Goedert brought to the table and what he did for this team last year. I see it. But we're talking about the economic side of this thing now. And the reason why I feel the way that I feel is because I've seen how these things work.
Yeah.
When a team is trying to save some money and cut corners, they're looking at him as a liability at this point, even though he is somewhat of an asset. But the cap number is too high for them, and that's why I think that one or two things are going to happen. They're going to try to reduce that cap number, or they're going to move on from
it. I agree. I think that's where this is headed. That's why
it's on him. Like, he's in a situation now, Joe, where you need to figure out how do you want to take a chance and go somewhere else and maybe have a mediocre run at a title, or stay here, take a little bit of a pay cut, but you're still a part of a good organization and a good squad.
So what you just said there is, I think, is key to this. What is the pay cut they're asking to take?
Because don't know.
You know, I have to think at some point – Hugh, I don't know what this world is like. I just talk about it. But, like, I understand the difference between $14 million and $5 million is $9 million, right? Mm-hmm. But Goddard's made a lot of money. All these players make a lot of money. For people listening to us, they're probably like, what's the difference, right? It's millions anyway. But I wonder how much is a respect thing. Like, I wonder how much
a little bit of that.
Yeah, like, I think he probably gets the economics of football. But if they're asking him to take more than half less of his salary, I would feel a certain way if I was him. Like, think about it, regardless of what you do for a living, if your boss came to you tomorrow and said, you got to take less than half your salary, even if you understood the economics of your business, you might say, man, I've been here for 10 years, and you want me to take half my salary?
See, this
stinks.
But see, here's the way that I always understood when they ask you to take a pay cut, especially when you're still on the squad and they don't want you to leave. Okay, your number this year is $14 million, right? Say if they wanted to bring your number down to $5 million. So what's that, Joe? It's $9 million difference. Like you just said, you get a signing bonus of $9 million. You get that money. That's the way I've always understood it. When they ask people to take pay cuts and things of that nature, or to reduce their salary cap hit, they usually write them a check for $9 million. So I don't understand. Like, with this situation, that to me seems like that's an easy ride. Or if you want to, you could extend years. You could sign him for whatever you sign him to, but right, extend those years out and bring that number down. That's the way I understand it. I don't know if they want to do that.
Well, let's hear this from Elliot, because Elliot tried to explain the money situation a little bit more in depth at the Mortar Show today. It seems like this is maybe more about cash than it is the salary cap. I did mention that the Eagles already have to allocate $16 million on the cap this year to Jason Kelce. It's just the reality of his contract, the way they kind of pushed money back. So maybe this is more about, like, literal cash. Here's Elliot this morning with the Morning Show explaining his interpretation of the Goddard thing with the money.
From the Eagles' perspective, if they were to move on from him and ignore the cap implications, just the cash, if they were to move on from him, they save that cash. So from Goddard's camp, they're probably going around the league seeing who will pay him 14. I mean, I'm sure they started hoping for more on a multi-year deal. Mm-hmm. And now from the Eagles' perspective, he's not finding that. They kind of hold all the cards at this point, because they could say, yeah, we'll have you back at $5 million, you know, and then it's up to Goddard's camp to go and find a better offer than what the Eagles are willing to pay.
So, I mean, the cash aspect of this is interesting, too, because we know the Eagles have cut salary this offseason. I want him back. I think they're undervaluing him. 215-592-9494. For this hour on 94 WIP's fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. Let's go to the phone lines here. Jeff in Wilmington is up. Hey, Jeff.
Jeff.
What's up, guys?
Hey, Jeff. What's going on?
I got company man Professor Marvel over here trying to get me behind the curtain and trying to tell me he's the Wizard of Oz. Look, I don't understand.
I took a shot. I caught a stray.
Oh, yeah, you did.
I caught a stray.
You're a big one.
I don't understand why the Eagles aren't doing this. You know, I mean, they have him here. It's not like they're negotiating with a player that wants to come here or that they want. And they already know that he's not going to be giving them 17 games a year. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of a known fact. He's not the guy that's going to give you – he's going to be out some games. So why are you asking him to take such a big pay cut? Well, we don't really know what they're asking, but it appears that they are. So it's kind of confusing to me. Like, they've pretty much taken care of everybody on this team, and they're pushing back on him, and the guy has been to a few Super Bowls and done well in the playoffs. So I don't understand what the issue is.
I don't, but Jeff, I don't either. And you think about the other guys over the years, and I'm not saying he's as good of a player, but, you know, the homegrown guys, right? The guys, they kept Kelsey forever. They kept Fletcher forever, even when he wasn't the same player he was when he was young.
Yeah.
I mean, Jason Peters got to hang out here until he basically couldn't play anymore. I mean, it's bizarre to me that taking a hardline stance with Goddard, and we don't even have the next tight end. Like, if we had drafted a guy last year or this year, I totally would get it. Like, all right, we moved off of Ertz, we moved off of Selleck. This is kind of how the Eagles do it. They don't have the next tight end here.
That was my other point. Like, they don't have someone in hand. Like, are we really counting on Grant Calcaterra to pick up the slack from
I'm not.
Goddard?
Maybe Hugh is. So. I'm not.
No, I don't think they're going to go in the skeezy with Grant Calcaterra. Grant Calcaterra.
Yeah, we can't even say his name.
He had a nice jacket on yesterday. Did you see the jacket?
I didn't see Grant's jacket.
He had the jacket. He had the – forgot the liner. That was Dan Maroney did that. Shout out to Dan.
I don't give a shit.
I'm sorry, Jeff.
He's trying to dress his best. I get it, yeah.
I love it. Now, like I said, I don't understand playing hardball with him and somewhat doing it in public. I mean, look, they're being asked these questions.
Right.
Maybe Howie didn't answer them completely the way we thought he should. But it doesn't sound like they're all that keen on bringing him back at any number. It seems like. I mean, he's under contract, but
I think you said it well. They talk about him, and Jeff, we appreciate the call. They talk about Goddard like he's not here. Like, as if he's on the roster and they're negotiating a free agent contract. He's on the team. This has been the most bizarre thing the entire offseason. 215-592-9494. That is how you hop. We're this hour at 94 WIP, fueled by Sunoco 94 Octane. If you demand peak performance for your vehicle, then nothing less than Sunoco 94 Octane will do. Treat your car to 94 only at Sunoco. All right, we got a lot to do today. We will get to some Phillies. They play tonight against the Nats.
Tonight.
Back at home for the first time. So we'll get to some Phillies stuff. We got to get to a major debate that is really going on everywhere. We'll get to that over the course of the show. By the way, we're on YouTube. You can watch it live. And I did find out, I don't know if it's fixed, but there's a little...
We have a glitch.
A little glitch in the Matrix. So, yeah, a little glitch in the Matrix. So when I think everyone could see you and I, Hugh, but when we go to Kyle... I think it's fixed. Okay. Earlier we went to Kyle and he was invisible.
He
was invisible Kyle, which some people might want.
A lot of complaints, actually. They wanted to see my face.
They missed you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Speak of your face, we had headshots this morning.
I know.
Yeah, so there's going to be, just wait for those.
I was a little nervous about
that. Were you? That's a nice polo you wore.
Well, it was because.
It's not quite the Reverend.
No, because it was, when they said, I heard photos, yeah. Right? And I thought headshots. When I came in, I saw the full setup. Yeah. I was like, oh, no.
Because you wore shorts.
I wore shorts.
Yeah, you're good, though.
Yeah.
It was just headshots.
What they call them, hoochie daddy shorts, too.
Is that what they call them?
That's what
those?
They call them.
Okay.
They call them that. Okay. Yeah. Like, I ain't want nobody, you know.
But you wore them to work.
I did wear them to work, though, didn't I? So I guess I didn't really too much care.
You don't have much of a leg to stand on.
Yeah. Yeah.
How'd your photos go?
I think I went pretty...
We took some silly photos.
No, but the ones... Uh-oh. They told us don't, because they know how people get.
Yeah.
So they ain't want them to be photoshopping. Well, so yeah, we had to, you know.
I think that's a losing battle we're fighting. People are going to photoshop things onto us no matter what.
They were
we
a lot more silly than last time.
They were, yeah. Yeah, last time it was a little bit more straightforward. This one was, you know, make this face, do that. act this way. So we'll see what those look like when they arrive. All right, let's go next. We sometimes on this show, we have Pop-Up Douglas. Today, we just have a call from Pop-Up in Simpsonville, South Carolina. Pop-Up?
Simpsonville.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning,
hey,
Pop-Up.
I just wanted to say, thank you. I listen every morning. I listen from 10 o'clock on.
Pop-Up's really got to stick together.
Morning, well, thank you, Pop-Up. Hey, Pop-Up.
We appreciate you.
Real question. How far are you from Bucky's?
I'm about 3 hours from Bucky's. As a matter of fact, I'm going to the beach this weekend.
So you're
going to
hit the Bucky's.
I'll be getting a brisket sandwich Friday afternoon.
That's that bussy
they got,
meat.
They got brisket sandwiches.
But yeah, they got all kinds of stuff.
And don't forget the bathroom, Scott.
You could hold a wedding in the bathroom.
Yeah, I keep trying to tell them. They don't understand how phenomenal Bucky's is.
I can't imagine many women would go for that, though. Where are we doing this reception? The bathroom of Bucky's.
You could join the Maha Club at Bucky's.
There you go. You could do that. Pop-Pop, what are you thinking today about Goddard?
I'm just saying.
I think that Goddard is a keeper. He has to stay on the team. They've attempted to nickel and dime him. Howie's got to step up and pay the man what he's due. He is, if you look at the highlight reel, and I don't care about everybody gets injured. Thing is that as a 66-year-old disabled veteran, you know, when I was in the Marine Corps, I was a young man playing John Wayne. Years later, my body pays the price. You know firsthand what he deals with his, you know, the nagging injuries from playing in the NFL. We have to take that into consideration as fans. These men give us everything they have, and then when they walk away from the game, they deal with the repercussions of the injuries that they suffer while playing, and they play through. Dallas Goedert is an eagle, and all I think about is his stiff arm and him knocking people down and pulling people into the end zone. He's a keeper.
Pop-Up, I agree with you. And that's what I think of, too. When I think of his career, and Pop-Up, we appreciate it. You enjoy that trip to Bucky's. Brisket sandwich on Friday for Pop-Up.
I do find it interesting, like, if you just ask somebody, how far are you from a Bucky's? They'll know their exact distance.
No, because it's
from a Bucky's at all times? It's 3 hours. That's a long way to know.
No, but when in the South, that's the thing.
Like when an internal GPS.
Yeah, because when I lived in Georgia, I was only, like, 40 minutes from a Bucky's.
Wow.
And I never knew.
And you left to come here?
I never knew the glory of Bucky's until I got ready to leave. I never knew.
Well, you were there. Like, how long were Bucky's there with you and you didn't realize?
You know what's funny? It was a couple things happened that was magical before I left Atlanta. Whataburger came to town the day that I left Georgia.
They have those everywhere, though.
No,
yeah.
They don't. Whataburger, they don't, Joe. They only have them in Texas.
Hold on. Let me check this out.
And Atlanta got the Whataburger, and it was the line around. They had a line backed up for miles. They got that when I left. And the Buc-ee's. I miss both of them. I mean, I'm not bitter or anything. I'm going to go down. I just, you know, when somebody's close to the South, I just got to figure out. I mean, you know.
I'm looking up this.
Everybody know how far
place.
They know from the Buc-ee's.
I'm going to find you this. I'm telling you, this burger place.
Whataburger. You ain't going to find a Whataburger.
I think I might. I think I might find
up
one.
North?
I think I might find one.
Okay.
All right. He made the point on Goddard that he remembers him more for his big moments, right? The playoff stiff arm. You're not wrong when you say how many games he's missed. I mean, those are facts, right?
Yeah.
But I think some of those have just been weird injuries.
He's missed
one time. Was it 2 years ago? He got pulled down by the Cowboy guy. I think it was in like the November game.
It was a hamstring, right?
No. He got pulled down and he broke
his collarbone.
And he broke his collarbone. Yeah. Like, to me, is that... Is that that's not a recurring injury. He just plays physical and he gets banged up.
Injuries do find him.
Yeah, they do.
And it's one of those things when you look at, okay, say as good as Dallas Goedert is, and when he's in there, we see that production. But the dependability factor is what's playing into this decision, in my opinion. I don't know this for sure, but I think the dependability factor is because when you have a tight end of his caliber, you tend to game plan for his presence. And when he's not out there, you have to adjust and change things for his absence. So that's why I say your biggest asset is your availability. And so I think the Eagles probably went into this thinking two things. Hopefully they could probably get something for him in the draft, which it didn't look like that happened. But you also had to replenish your defensive side of the ball. So they had to go. That was the priority. Now, this side thing that you had going on with Dallas, you need to rectify that, but you got to take care of the defense. Because we saw how instrumental Vic Fangio was, how prevalent he was in that meet with. He was like on Howie's hip. And I'm pretty sure he was like, yo, man, I need this. I need that. We lost a lot of pieces. I need some young cat, you know. So that was the priority. So now you look at it like this. There's going to be a lot of restricted free agents or unrestricted free agents, whatever. Undrafted free agents, yep. I should say. That's my fault. Undrafted free agents. That they're going to be moved from team to team. They're probably going to bring some tight ends in this weekend.
I know, but are any of them going to be Goddard?
You never know, Joe.
Would you guess? An undrafted tight end rookie going
to
be Goddard?
Well, it's a long shot.
Yeah.
But you still have to vet these guys that you brought in that are long shots. And then not only that, the longer this play – see, we're dealing with a time frame where something has to happen with Dallas.
Yep.
Because if I'm not mistaken, if he reaches what is it? Is it sometimes in the next couple weeks or whatever? His money's guaranteed or something like that.
So I don't know if his money's guaranteed the entire season.
I'm talking out of my depth with, as far as these contract situations is concerned. But if they can't find a suitable replacement, he's probably going to be here. Or they're going to probably have to, if they want to try to lower his cap number, they're probably going to have to try to extend it.
I agree with that totally. Both sides are in a spot where something has to change. The Eagles don't want to pay him what he's getting right now. And Goddard, I understand why he doesn't want to have zero guaranteed dollars because, Hugh, what if they find a trade partner for a different tight end in August? They could just cut Goddard outright. He gets $0. Like, I get why he wants to fix this. I just think every conversation about him is more about the money he's making. Again, they're allocating this season, 2025, if you look at the Eagles cap sheet, $16 million to Jason Kelce to do Monday Night Football and hang out at WIP and do all the cool things he does. That's the way the Eagles do their cap. They push money back to the future, and that's fine. The Eagles are very smart about this. I'm just saying, when I look at their cap sheet and I see Jason Kelce for $16 million, but we can't carry Goddard, doesn't add up to me. Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will? Will?
Woman too big.
Will going once. Will going twice.
It was too big.
And we go to Terrence in Springfield. What's up, Terrence?
New Joe Kyle, what's up, man?
Hey, what's Terrence. On, what's man? Up, buddy?
Hey, you damn right. They're undervaluing Dallas Goddard. Here's the thing. He was definitely productive on the field. I feel like he's been a great player for us. He's hard nosed. He's a great run blocker. But my thing is, with Hugh here, this is playing a big part of it. His injury status, his availability. I think that's why Howie is kind of trying to lower this contract for Dallas. And my thing with Howie was talking about Goddard like he passed away or something. We think of Goddard. He's a great player, and I heard a lot of buts. I heard a lot of buts in that when Howie was talking. So you're talking about the guy like he's going somewhere like he left already. Howie, like, you know, my thing is the same thing you said, Joe. If we would have grabbed a tight end during the draft or something, because my thing is if Howie goes in the season with uncertainty at the tight end position, then he didn't have a good off season. That's not a good thing to have if you don't have a tight end, because we know that's one of Jalen's security blankets is Dallas Goedert, is the tight end position. And I know I heard you saying earlier, Calcaterra, he played a great, great role last year, but he's not a starter. He came in and he pretty much, the situation was right for him. So he made the best of a situation for Clint Calcaterra. But my thing is, man, I feel like we got to bring Dallas Goedert back. Dallas Goedert, he's a key vocal point to our offense. There were games where Saquon was shut down earlier in the season, where Goddard stepped up in there.
Well, I mean, Terrence, let's just you're right. Let's hit the one. If he doesn't have the 61-yard touchdown against the Saints, Terrence, we preach the phone
might
call.
Might be a different season. We get it.
Yeah, they might be 1-3 at the bye, and then you know maybe that ability to come out of the bye and play the way they did is just different. 215-592-9494 for all your Goddard calls on the other side. Here are the Eagles undervaluing Dallas Goedert. It sure feels like it to me. I think he's being totally undervalued. Stop playing hardball. Bring the guy back. Also, Phillies, they're back tonight, starting a series against the Nats. I want to get at something that's been going on with the lineup and a change we need to see now. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Great lawn. It's like a great sports team. It takes expertise and a little extra care to really stand out. That's where True Green comes in. They're the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, so they know a thing or two about keeping grass looking like a fairway. Here's the best part. It's more affordable than you think, and they'll even match any competitor's price. Plus, True Green backs it all up with a satisfaction guarantee. Not happy? They'll come back between visits to make it right. Don't wait. Head to TrueGreen.com today. Let the pros do the work while you sit back and enjoy the results.